Father God, we come before you this morning, and Lord, as we look at these things in your word, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, because Lord, that's why we're here. We're here to worship you, and as part of worshiping you is sitting and studying your word. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name that you give us ears to hear what you want to say to us through this passage of scripture this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we get to gather together publicly to study your word. And Lord, I ask that you just speak through me this morning, that I would simply teach your Bible simply. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, and we left off a few weeks ago in verse 13. So what I want to do is start in verse 1 to get a running start here to remind us, to refresh our memories, where we were at. And so the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of you and defraud his brother in this matter, because of the Lord is avenger of all of such, as we are also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life and to mind your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside and that you may lack nothing." Now, verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Okay, so a couple weeks ago, we left off here in verse 13. And this passage, verses 13 through 18, is a teaching on what's called the rapture of the church. Has anybody ever heard of the rapture of the church? Okay, quite a few of you have heard of that, the rapture of the church. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, okay? We're going to be a couple weeks in this passage of scripture. So today, I'm going to teach through it verse by verse, but then next week, we're going to talk about it. We're going to kind of give the big picture on some things, okay? But this week, we're going to focus solely on the text here, and then next week, we're going to expand it a little bit to where it fits in the whole timeline and everything like that, okay? So I'm just giving you a heads up. So every question you may have about the rapture is not going to be answered today necessarily, but hopefully the next couple weeks, it will, okay? That means you got to come back, okay? So, got to give you a preview. Okay, so listen. Paul says this, "But I do not want you to be ignorant." That is uninformed. The idea there is not to know. Keep in mind something here. We talked about this before. Paul planned this church in his one missionary journey at Thessalonica. He had to leave because of persecution. He was there for three Sabbaths, which means he was there for 3 weeks. And he talked about the gospel. He talked about other things, but specifically he talked about the end times and what was going to happen. And so what has happened is, remember, recall, we talked about this earlier a few weeks ago. Timothy was sent to find out how they were doing. And Timothy came back to Paul to tell them how they were doing. And when Timothy came back to tell Paul, there was a question that had arisen in that what happened, because since Paul left, some of their loved ones had died. And so what happened to them? Because of what Paul taught them, about the rapture of the church. How does that work with regards to loved ones that have died, to Christians that have died now, since he was there? And so he's going to address those issues. And keep in mind something here, okay? And we miss this a lot. The last verse of this section is the key. "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." See, he writes this to comfort them. When he says to comfort, that word means to console, to encourage, to strengthen. Literally, it means, parakleo, it means to call to one side. So you think of it like this. If you have kids and your kid falls and hurts himself, you pick your kid up and you pull him to your side to comfort them. That's the idea here. And so this passage is to be a comfort to us. It's not to confuse us. It's to comfort us. And see, there's a lot of controversy over this passage. There are some churches that do not believe that this is true. There's some churches who go way too far with it, okay? But understand something. I'm going to tell you a little testimony of my own, me personally. Many years ago, in 1975, when I was born, no, I'm just kidding. Many years ago, when I got saved, I started reading the Bible for myself. And as I was reading the Bible, I came across this passage, and I had heard somebody talk about the rapture of the church. And I was like, I have no idea what that means, and we'll explain that in a moment. So I started reading this passage here, and I was like, okay, so I'm reading this, and it looks like the Lord's going to come back for us. All right, that's good. I'm all for that. And then I had other people telling me, well, you know, that's not really what it means. It really means it's the second coming of Christ. And I was like, okay. So I got a little confused, and I didn't understand. And so I did my own research, and here's what I found. This is not the second coming of Christ. This is something completely different. The second coming of Christ is taught in Revelation 19. In fact, put your finger here and turn to Revelation 19. Now, granted, we just read this passage. Now, you tell me if it sounds like the same event. So Revelation 19, we're going to be at verse 11. Talks about the second coming. So here we go. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Does that sound like the passage I just read in 1 Thessalonians? No. And he, that's Jesus, who sat on him, was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. Now, don't you think if this was the same exact thing, they would say that? And they don't. It's completely different. Verse 12. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress on the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty of God. And he has on his robe, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's got like a tattoo on his leg. That's pretty cool. Now, here's the thing. That is the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is not describing the rapture of the church, what we just talked about in 1 Thessalonians. They are two separate events. Hence, that's why I have the chart back there. There is many more verses that make this clear. They're back there on the chart. So I strongly encourage you to take them. If we run out, let me know. I'll get you more. But there is a difference. It's not the same thing. See, the rapture of the church, I'll read something to you. The rapture of the church is the event in which God snatches away all believers from earth in order to make a way for his righteous judgment to be poured out on earth during the tribulation period. See, there's a time coming. Judgment is coming to this earth. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble in the scripture. It is the tribulation period. When you read the book of Revelation, it's Revelation chapter 6 through 19. That is a tribulation period. And so what happens is, Jesus comes back for his church and takes us out before this period starts. Now, we'll get into that more next week, okay? But that is the overall picture of this. And so back to my own personal testimony. When I read this passage in Revelation 19, I was like, well, this isn't the same event. And I remember telling somebody, hey, you told me that this was the same thing. It's not the same thing. It doesn't describe the same thing. They didn't have any answer for me. You have to understand. One of the reasons here we teach the whole Bible is because we want God's word to speak to you, the whole counsel of God, not certain here, not cherry pick here, cherry pick there. Too many churches today will pick passages they only will teach for certain reasons. They'll teach certain passages to draw people in. You know, God loves you and everything's great. Well, does God love you? Yes. Is everything always great? No. See, we teach through the Bible verse by verse. And so listen, I'm not teaching this so like it's a controversial thing. I'm teaching because guess what? We're in 1 Thessalonians 4, and this is where we got to go. And so you're going to hit, if you teach the whole Bible, you're going to hit every subject matter, every issue, everything that we deal with. So understand that. That's why we teach. I want God's word to speak for itself. Doesn't mean need me to be clever and cool and all that stuff. God's word needs to speak for itself. Now, back to 1 Thessalonians 4. So now, I don't want you to be ignorant. So Paul's saying, listen, guys, I don't want you not to know. I don't want you not to be uninformed about this matter. He says, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. When he says fallen asleep, he's talking about believers that have died. Now, let me explain this to you. Have fallen asleep. So this is what happens. When you're a believer and you die, your body, okay, goes into the ground, right? But your soul and your spirit, your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, your spirit goes to be with the Lord. We learned that when we went through 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But that's if you're a believer, okay? So your body is dead in the ground and your soul and spirit are with Jesus. There's going to be a reunion. We're going to talk about this in a moment. But that's what he's talking about here. Believers that have died. That's why they kind of refer to it as, you know, in a sense, the body is sleeping because the body is going to be resurrected someday. Now, here's something you need to understand. There is a false doctrine that's going around the church that's called soul sleep. If you hear soul sleep, run the other direction. Amen. It's not true. The Bible doesn't teach that. Today, like Seventh-day Adventists believe that, okay? I'm not just going to pick on Seventh-day Adventists. There's this group called the Christophilians or something like that. I've never even heard of them. There's all kinds of groups, trust me. If you do research, oh my goodness. All kinds of stuff. And it's just like, I look at that kind of stuff and I go, what does the text say? What does it say? If I have to do gymnastics and pick myself a pretzel to believe certain things, then it's not what the text is teaching. The text is clear. It is plain. That's why you need to read the Bible for yourself. And listen, you know, we talked about this before. You need to read the Bible for yourself because if I stand up here and say something that's completely crazy, you need to call me out on it. Sometimes there's Sundays where I want to say that to see if anybody calls me out on it. But then I'm afraid because then if you do that, people who's a visitor are like, yeah, I'm leaving. This guy's nuts. So I don't. Yeah. So thank you. So back to verse 13. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, listen, he says, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. See, listen, sorrow. Sorrow means to be sad. Look, if you have a loved one who dies, are you sad? Well, hopefully you are. The answer is yes, you're sad. Why? Because you miss them. Because you miss them, because you want them in your life. But here's the thing. If we believe in the resurrection, which he's going to talk about in the next verse here, we have a hope. We have a hope, which means we're going to see them again. See, you sorrow for a moment because you miss them. And what he's saying is here, is he's saying, don't sorrow like those who have no hope. See, if you're an unbeliever and somebody you know has died and was not a believer, yeah, you have no hope. It is sorrowful. You should be sad. But there is a time to be sad. You know, my oldest sister passed away in 2014 from breast cancer. I know she was a believer. I was sad. I was sorrowful for a moment. But guess what I'm looking forward to? Seeing her someday, face to face, with a new resurrected body, with no cancer. There are other people. My grandfather who passed away. Same thing. Looking forward to seeing him face to face. He probably will be younger. Who knows? But it's okay to sorrow. But here's the thing. If you have the hope of resurrection, your sorrow will end because you have that hope that you're going to see your loved ones again. Now, he goes on. He says, for if we believe. Now, that word for if is class conditional. It should be translated for since. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep or through Jesus sleep in Jesus. Now, we just talked about this last week, the resurrection. That's the crux of the matter of our faith, right? If there's no resurrection, then what's the point? What are we doing here? And see, because Jesus was resurrected, guess what? We are going to be resurrected someday. Now, it's going to take a different form for us, and I'll explain that in a moment what I'm talking about. But understand, we have a hope, guys. And Paul is telling them, look, I don't want you to not know, to be uninformed. I told you this before. I want you to be encouraged the fact that we have this hope. We have a hope. If Jesus was resurrected, which he was, we will be resurrected. Now, verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Now, when he says by the word of the Lord, Paul had a clear, he got this teaching clearly from the Lord himself. The Apostle Paul got this teaching from Jesus himself. So should we listen to it? Yeah, we should. Look, I understand today there are a lot of people who say, well, the Lord said this to me, and they say all kinds of crazy things. Listen, if somebody tells you that the Lord spoke to them, it will confirm, it will back up what the scripture says. It will not violate that. If it violates that, then they don't know what they're talking about. Sorry, I don't know how else to say it. Amen. I've had people tell me all kinds of things, and it's like, oh, really? Well, how do you reconcile this with this? Yeah, right there it tells me that that's not from the Lord. So it's a good criteria to have. So again, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go before those who are asleep. Okay, so the Lord himself, now guys, don't miss this. This is amazing to me. For the Lord himself, he will personally descend. Jesus is coming back personally. Okay, he's going to descend. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. Now, the Bible talks about Michael as the archangel. Is it his voice? Probably. With the trumpet of God. So there's going to be a sound of a trumpet. See, when you hear a trumpet, when Israel would hear a trumpet, Israel would blow the trumpets to gather people together, to gather to assembly, to gather for battle, and other uses. But if you hear a trumpet, a loud trumpet outside, and all of a sudden you're in heaven, that was the rapture. So I'm just telling you. Okay? So get ready with a shout. Like, and listen, do we fully understand what this exactly means with a shout? Like, yo, here I come. You know, like, what's he going to say? Or come up hither. You know, like it says in Revelation 4. Come up hither, he says to John. You know, get up here. I don't know what he's going to exactly say, but listen for that sound. And if you hear that sound and you're in God's glory, just remember what I told you. Yeah. And so he says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So let's look at what he's talking about here. So those who have died in Christ, their soul and their spirit are with Jesus in heaven. Jesus is going to descend to the clouds, and he's going to raise the bodies of the dead, the Christians who have died, their dead bodies, are going to raise them and resurrect them. And what's going to happen is he raises them, they're going to meet, and they're going to form a new body, a new eternal body that can worship God forever. That's what's going to happen first. So listen, for those of you who have bodies who are breaking down, I want to encourage you, you're going to get a new one. You're going to get a new one. This thing is going to be built for eternity. This meat suit isn't built for eternity because of sin. Okay, now, so that's going to happen first. So you're going to hear this shout. And see, look, all this is going to happen, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says in a twinkling of an eye. How fast is a twinkling of an eye? Can you even like time that? It's going to be like that. You know, I used to joke during the pandemic with the people who were coming to the church and say, hey, if I don't see you on Sunday, maybe I'll see you in the air. And it's kind of like funny because in reality, I'm not going to see in the air because we're going to be up there so quick. It's going to be so fast. Now, then he says this. He says, then we who are alive and remain. So those who are still alive during this time when Jesus comes back for his church, it says, will be caught up, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Caught up. That word in the Greek is harpazo. It means to seize. It means to snatch or catch away. Now, rapture, where does that come from? Well, I've heard the argument against the rapture is the word rapture is not in the Bible. I say, okay, well, can I just tell you that it is in the Bible? It's in the Latin Vulgate. See, that word that's harpazo here in the Greek, in the Latin, it's raptus, which means basically the same thing, to snatch away, to catch away. That's where you get the word rapture from. So yes, in a Greek New Testament, which is what we have here, this is the English translated from the Greek New Testament, yes, the word actual word rapture doesn't appear. But it's harpazo. So maybe we should say, have you ever heard of the harpazo? That one sounds like a comedian or something. Have you heard of harpazo? Ha ha! You know, like one of those clowns or something. You ever hear of harpazo? Yeah. Oh, that's all you're going to remember from today. Then we who are invited, or we were invited. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong way. I'm going, okay. Woohoo! Get back to earth here. Let me get a drink. Listen. Harpazo. Being caught up. It's like, whoop, that's it. Just like that. You ever see a magician do that trick where he, you know, he puts stuff on a table with a tablecloth and he goes like that? It's going to be so quick, we're not even going to see it. boom, like that, twinkling of an eye, we're gone. Caught up. Now, that word harpazo is used other times in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 8, verse 39, when Philip, remember when Philip, he gets taken from by the Holy Spirit and transported from one area to the next, that word that they use, the transport that caught up, is harpazo, same thing. And then when Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, we talked about this, when Paul gets caught up to the third heaven, when he's stoned to death in Lystra, that word they use for caught up is harpazo. So it's used before. It's to be snatched away or caught away. It's quickly. Now, that's what's going to happen to us who remain. I want you to understand something here. What Paul is teaching here is he's not saying, yes, ironclad for a fact, Jesus is coming back right now in my time for the church. He's not saying that. He's saying he could. He could. He could come back. Now, we'll get to that in a moment, why he would say that, what the idea there behind that is. We'll get to that in a moment. But keep that in mind. And so we're caught up together with them in the cloud. So it's like the trumpet blows, the dead in Christ rise, their bodies are united. We go up then, we who are alive, we're in the air with the Lord. And guess what? We get a new body too. And we live with him forever in eternity. In fact, the Bible says that we're going to rule and reign during the millennial kingdom of Christ with him. But you got to be part of the club. You guys remember, I grew up in the 80s, you know, when I was a kid. Do you guys remember the commercial for Members Only jackets? Remember that? And they had the Members Only thing, and you know, a lot of guys would like, you know, roll them up, you know, you're cool, Members Only jackets. Well, can I tell you, you got to be saved to be part of the Harpazo Club. You have to be saved. You got to be saved. How do you get saved? Well, you open your heart by faith. You acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. You acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you invite him to come and live in your life and to forgive you of your sin and be the Lord of your life from that day forward. That's how you do it. And then you become a part of the Harpazo Club. Because if you're not part of the Harpazo Club, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be left behind. And if you're left behind, what happens after the rapture is the Great Tribulation. God's judgment is poured out on Christ's rejecting earth. People will say, well, I'll wait till that happens to get saved. Really? Really? I don't know about that. Have you ever read Revelation 6 through 19? If you do that, oh boy. Now, he says, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Now, that word for meet is interesting. It means a meeting, but it seems that the special idea of the word has the official welcome of a newly arrived dignitary. So we're going to meet Jesus. We're going to meet him in the air. We're going to meet him. That's why he's calling us up. And see, he's going to descend himself for us. Because why? We're his church. He died on the cross for us. See, the way the scripture portrays that is Jesus is the bridegroom and the church, us, are his bride. So he's coming to get his bride. And we'll talk more about that. There's some parallels to what a Jewish wedding looked like. Okay, we'll talk about that next week. But understand, he's coming for his bride. And we're going to meet him in the air. And then look what it says here, the rest of verse 17. I love this. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Wow. That's awesome. That's a verse that can keep you going when you get weary and you get tired and life is a struggle and there's drama. There's drama. You know, it's always funny. I was telling the guys this morning, every Sunday there's always drama somehow in my life. Every Sunday morning. I wonder why. But I'm longing for the day that that's not going to happen, that I'm going to be with him. Now, therefore, he says, comfort one another with these words. Now, something I want to talk about, this idea of being caught up. There are some meanings to this. So listen, being caught up, right? Harpazo, to catch away speedily, for there will be no warning. See, this is the only thing we're waiting for right now from the end times perspective, from a prophetic scripture. The only time we're waiting for right now is the rapture. Nothing has to happen before it. Everything. Israel is a nation again. We're all ready to go. It's the next step. I can't wait. And then the next part of it, to seize by force, for Satan will seek to hinder our rapture to heaven. Now here, look, here's what's interesting about that. What can happen for us as believers is we can read this and believe this, okay? And then it can kind of make us just kind of rest on our laurels, sit in our comfortable chairs and do nothing. Paul's not saying that. See, the Great Commission isn't negated by this passage. We are still called, remember we talked about this last week, to make disciples of all nations. We're still supposed to do that. Yes, in light of the fact that he's going to come back at any moment. Okay. Now, the third thing, to claim for oneself, just as the bridegroom claims a bride. I talked about that a moment ago. And then being called away, the idea to move to a new place. We're going to move to a new place. It's going to be glorious. And then lastly, to rescue from danger, for the church will not go through tribulation. You know, in fact, we'll hit, Lord willing, we'll get there. But in chapter 5, verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians, it says this, for God didn't appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. That is the wrath to come, the judgment. He didn't appoint the church to that. Now, more about that next week. But something interesting, guys, about all this. There is a reason why God wrote his scripture the way he did. Because every generation has the idea that Christ will come back for his church at any moment. Why? Why would he do that? Because there's an urgency then for evangelism. Because then if we fulfill the Great Commission, see, if we believe that Jesus is going to come back at any moment, then what are we doing for him? What are we doing? Are you telling other people about Jesus? Do you want people to be part of the Harpazo Club? Maybe we'll change the name of the church, Harpazo Club. Just kidding. Anyway. And we all get jackets. No, I'm just kidding. Yep. If you want to. You can cut them off if you want. Whatever. Whatever you guys want to do. So personal evangelism, okay? Another reason why for every generation they believed that Christ was going to come back for his church was personal holiness or purity. What does your life look like? If I believe that Jesus is going to come back at any single moment, what am I doing? Am I involved in things I shouldn't be? Am I looking at stuff I shouldn't be looking at? Am I going places I should be going? Am I having relationships with people I shouldn't have relationships with? That's why the scripture is written the way it is. Because listen, there are people who will scoff at this. He's not coming back. He's never coming back. Puh. That's a scoffer. In Peter's epistles, letters, he talks about that. Understand, he is coming back for his church. And if I believe that's going to happen at any moment, remember we talked about this. If you knew that Jesus would come into your house by 2 o'clock today, what would you do? You'd probably leave right now and get your house in order. But see, that's why you need to get your house in order. If you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. If you have sin in your life, you need to ask for forgiveness. By the way, if you want a lesson on how to do that, listen to last week's Wednesday night study in Psalm 51. Confessing your sin. So there's personal holiness, there's purity. And then lastly, as he says here, there's comfort, there's consolation. If I believe this, if I know this to be true, I should be comforted no matter what I'm going through. Now, a place I want you guys to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And here's the thing. The rapture is taught throughout the scripture in the New Testament. There's pictures of it in the Old Testament. More about that next week. But here, specifically, in John chapter 14, verse 1, the context is Jesus has a meal, has his last supper with his disciples before he's about to be arrested and crucified, and he's telling them things. And he tells them that he predicts that he's going to be betrayed by Judas. He tells them that Peter's going to deny him. And so they're troubled, okay? They're not understanding. You ever get troubled because you don't understand fully a situation? Has it ever happened to you? Am I the only one? Okay. So their hearts are troubled. And so John chapter 14, verse 1, he says this to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. In other words, I'm not lying to you right now. I know what I've told you is going to happen. But listen, you believe in God and you believe also in me. And understand that I go to prepare a place for you. You understand that Jesus has been preparing a place for you for the last 2,000 years. Wow. Now, he says this, verse 3, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the Harpazo. He's going to come back and take his church off the earth. He's coming back. He's going to receive them to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know the way you know. Now, thankfully, Thomas asked this question. Because if I was there, I'd probably ask the same question. Lord, we don't know where you're going and how do we know the way? Like, I appreciate his honesty. And then he says this. Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Nobody. He is the only way. The only way to heaven is through Christ. The only way to be part of the Harpazo Club is through Christ, is to put your faith and trust in him. That's what he's saying here. But he's telling them, look, he's comforting them. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Be comforted by this. Be comforted by this. And we should be comforted by this truth. And that's why, guys, again, that's why, if you look at 1 Thessalonians, that's why this teaching has, for all generations throughout the church, you believe that Christ is coming back again. Because why? Because there's an urgency to make disciples of all nations. There's a personal holiness and purity that we are to be walking in. If you believe Jesus is going to come back at any moment, how do you want God to find you? What does he want you to find you to be doing? This passage is a great way to like kind of nullify like arguments and stuff, you know, because like I think to myself, okay, do I really want Jesus to come back and for his church and I'm being mean to my wife? Not really. Do I want Jesus to come back and I'm sitting on my computer looking at pornography? Do I really want that? Let's be real here. And then lastly, guys, it's for comfort. It's for comfort. Remember, Paul said to them, don't be ignorant of this. Don't be uninformed, guys. What I taught you is true. Jesus was resurrected. You'll be resurrected. And if that's true, these words should comfort you because you're going to see your loved ones that went before you. And I have no idea. And you're going to see your loved ones who went before you. And then also you're going to be there with him too. So that is the blessing of this. This harpazo, this being caught up, this rapture. Now, we're going to stop here this morning for this part. But next week, we're going to pick up in this passage again, and we're going to talk about some various things to prove out that this is true, that it's taught throughout the scripture, that this is something that was just made up a few years ago or a few hundred years ago. But listen, if there's anything you get from this passage today, it's this. Number one, you need to get right with God. If you don't know him, you need to know him. So you need to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner and that he died on the cross for your sins. And open your heart by faith, receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. You're part of the Harpazo Club. Number two, be comforted by these words. There is a day coming when he's coming for us. He's coming for his bride. If you're part of the church, you're his bride, and he's our bridegroom. It's going to be glorious. And listen, may it be a comfort to you because no matter what you're going through, and listen, we go through stuff, don't we? We live in a sin-fallen world, and we live with sin-fallen people, and it can be hard, man. It can be hard with just with other believers. But here's the thing. Be comforted because we're going to see him again. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your scripture. And Father, I pray for anyone here this morning, for anyone here who is watching or may watch or listen later who does not know you. Lord, it's simple. You died on the cross for their sins. All they have to do is acknowledge that they are a sinner and that you died for them. And then they need to ask you by faith that you would forgive them and that you would be the Lord of their life from this day forward. And so, Lord, for the rest of us, would we be encouraged by this, Lord? Would we be strengthened by this truth? And would we go tell people about you, Lord? Lord, if we really believe what this says, then what are we doing about it? And perhaps, Lord, maybe also there are people here this morning who gave their life to you. But Lord, you seem so distant away. Because they're involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. Lord, your scripture is clear. The only thing that keeps us from you is sin. Would they come back to you? Would they want to be part of the Harpazo Club? And thank you, Jesus, that you're coming back for us. What a blessing it is. What encouragement it is. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.